Hello, and welcome back to another episode of One of Us is Talking. I think we all know why I took a week off. And if you haven't heard yet, unfortunately, One of Us is Lying has been canceled at Peacock, and there will not be a third season. But on the bright side, UCP is still looking for a way to continue the series with maybe another streaming service. But One of Us is Talking is here to stay, and I'm very excited to talk more about the future of the podcast. I have loved putting this podcast together for all of you and being able to talk to so many cast and crew members who have had wonderful stories. But now it's time to hear from the fans. I will be conducting interviews with fans and we'll be talking about characters and relationships and favorite episodes. If you're interested, just shoot me a DM on Instagram and we can plan an episode. But for the next 3 weeks, I still have very exciting One of Us is Lying guests. And today I am so excited because I am here with Kareem. We talked all about their experience playing Chris and what it was like filming One of Us is Lying. Make sure to listen all the way through today if you want to hear about next week's guest. Without further ado, here's Kareem. Hello, welcome back to another episode of One of Us is Talking. I am here today with Kareem. I am so excited for this episode. Kareem, how are you?
What's up? I'm good. How are you, Allison?
I'm so good. Thank you. I mean, I'm so excited to talk all about One of Us is Lying, all about Chris with you. This is such an exciting episode. And so Chris in season two, you filmed in New Zealand up until August of last year. The show came out and then you go back to New Zealand and you have to get back into character. After that time off, how did you get back into Chris and kind of back into that mindset?
Oh, babe, it's real easy for me. It's super, super simple. Chris isn't like very far off from who I am in real life, to be real with you. Like, I'm really ratchet. I'm really loud. I'm really that guy. So for me, like, when I get into my trailer, I have a playlist. Am I allowed to cuss on this? Yeah. Well, I have this playlist called Bad Bitch Music, which is very like Megan Thee Stallion, Nicki Minaj. And so I blast it as loud as the speaker will allow me to go. And I just dance around in my trailer, get my clothes on, and then I'm Chris.
Do you have a favorite song from that playlist that really gets you into the Chris?
Yeah, one that gets me going is Megan Thee Stallion. Dang it, I can't remember the title, but Megan Thee Stallion. Like, anything by Megan Thee Stallion, I'm like, oh, Chris.
That is so funny, but that's so great to hear. I mean, the playlist, that's amazing. And talking of even how you just said, like, getting into Chris's outfits and his clothes, I feel like Chris's wardrobe is so important to who Chris is. So these outfits, how are they made? Do you have any input on what Chris wears or kind of the direction they go with that?
Yes, 100%. The producers on the show are awesome because they really have given me like so much input into like the costume, the jewelry, even the nail art that I do. I have had a say every step of the way. It's like costume days are like so fun. I really love fashion in real life, so it's been super cool to like incorporate my own fashion into the character. Like, they let me wear a ton of like, I brought a I brought a lot of like some of my jewelry that made it on the show, some like outfits. It was seriously to the point where I would come, like, especially for episode 5, the rave, like that scene was like everything to me. So I literally come to the costume fittings with like 2 suitcases like full of like clothes. Like, it's not a game. Like, I take this so serious. And like, I would do that almost every fitting. And then it came to the point where I remember when I showed up to the fitting of the rave episode, half of the stuff in my suitcase was already hanging like on the designers had already pulled out. So it really felt like after a while they started getting like, okay, like loud prints, like really bright colors to match your loud makeup. It was definitely a collaboration. It was a conversation. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I love Chris's wardrobe myself. I think it's just so a reflection of him. And then hearing that you kind of bring in your own self to it, that's really cool to hear. And
For sure.
you're saying you have two suitcases, all these suitcases of clothes. Do you bring them when you travel to New Zealand, or do you get most of your clothes there?
The first season when I came to New Zealand, everybody was making fun of me because I had eight suitcases like packed like sky high on top of each other.
Gosh.
Like, because I didn't know what, you know, I had to be ready for every occasion. I
Yeah.
gotta get clothes to go out. You know, I'm meeting these new people. I gotta look fly. I don't know nobody. I gotta like really have myself together. So I brought my entire closet with me. Season two, like I kind of got more of an idea of like what's going on. So, you know, I brought it down to like four or five suitcases. But yeah, I brought a ton of clothes with me. There was even a day, like we all had a party. I made a TikTok about it. And like I had enough clothes to dress like Cooper and like Barrett, and like all the kids were like wearing my suit. And I'm like, oh, my mom. Like,
I love that. And I remember that TikTok. That's when Cooper was in like the blue suit. I remember that. That sent all the fans into a frenzy. That your TikToks have been like, I don't know, it keeps us going during like the off times. And I feel like when you post, like we know you guys are back. So that is so cool. And yeah, that trip to New Zealand is, I mean, you are so far from home. So, I mean, bringing eight suitcases, I think that's warranted. That's not an easy trip. And do you have a favorite Chris outfit from the season? Was it the one from the rave, or maybe?
Easy, period. What? It's the rave outfit. I felt like a superhero, bro. Like, I literally, I remember, like, I mean, just once I got onto set and I had full, like, outfit, like, full makeup, like, and everything was, like, good to go, shoes on. I walked on set and, like, all the extras were just kind of like, I've never felt so beautiful in my life, like truly. Like, I really felt like, yeah, a superhero. And like, I just felt so special and so like, I mean, the intricate work that that Jose, the makeup artist, did with like the eyes, the smoky eyes, and like everything was just so beautiful. That was like honestly one of the best days of my life.
I mean,
her day was like dedicated to shooting this rave scene, and it was like really centered around Chris. And like, yeah, it was awesome. That's definitely hands down my favorite
yeah,
outfit.
that whole scene I think was so important to the episode and so important to Chris's character. And I think so much of you also with the outfit and all really showed through the screen, and it kind of made just such a great connection. And I don't know, just the way you portray Chris and hearing how you're able to have input into him, I think really is, it shows. So that's so
Oh,
cool to hear.
well, thank
and
you.
no problem. And Chris is definitely a fan favorite, and fingers crossed for season three. Would love, I mean, I could do a whole episode on Chris, so that would be I love when he's on the screen. And I mean, so many of your scenes, sometimes Chris definitely, you're not with all the characters, or sometimes it's more just you and Chip filming. But was there a hardest scene to film in either season one or two?
A hard scene? I mean, nah, I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like, none of this, I wouldn't describe like anything that I filmed hasn't been, oh, wait, actually, okay, I lied. I had one very difficult day, but it had nothing to do with like the scenes or like who I was acting with. I just was super sick, like and it wasn't like a cold or anything contagious. I just felt like very weak, and like I don't, to this day I don't know what it was, but it was my first day of filming season one. It was like the first time I'm like pulling up trying to impress everybody, like trying to show them what I got, and I felt awful. And we shot like almost half of my scenes from season one on this day. And I remember, like, just, oh my God, it was so tough. Like, every time they yelled cut, I just like sit down, and then like, you know, action, I had to pretend like I was like in it. And when I left, I remember just like crying. I felt so bad, because I felt like, dang, like this is my big like thing. And I just, yeah, felt so bad. And I remember There was a day when the whole cast sat around in a circle and just talked about like the good and the bad of that week. I just broke down. I was like, y'all, like I was sick as hell. Like I think I did awful. Like I felt like imposter syndrome. I'm like, I don't even know why I thought I could do this. But then like the producers were kind and our acting coach at the time, like actually pulled up the scene so I could see what I did, and it was awesome. It was like really great. She was like, "Why are you tripping for nothing?" And the whole cast, like I remember in that moment, just like did like this to me and just like reassuring me, like, "No, bro, like you're lit, like you're Chris, like you did a great job, and everyone's gonna love you." And that's yeah, what happened, and it honestly ended up working out great. But yeah, I think I learned in that moment that sometimes being an actor isn't even always about performing at your best. Sometimes it's about performing at your worst. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I love hearing how supportive the cast is of each other. Like hearing that is so great and seeing that they were there for you at that time and were able to support you. But also as a fan and watching your scenes in season one, you would never be able to tell. They were just such fun scenes. And hearing that actually was a shock to me because I never would have guessed that
Oh,
was like a hard day for you. So
well,
I'm
thank
And that I think is it speaks for your acting and your talent. So I think that's really, I don't know, it was great to see how you all are able to interact, even the characters. And I think Chris grew closer to Murder Club in season two, which was definitely fun to see, especially towards the end. So in a potential season three, where would you like to see Chris being with the Murder Club, like in terms of friendships and all?
I mean, listen, I just see Chris. I think Chris is like proven himself to be mom. And like these kids have real great ideas and like woo-woo, but they're all over the damn place. You know, Chris just continuing to be mom and continuing like, you know, helping them get it together and communicate efficiently, because that's how I really am in real life. Like, I don't got time for the woo-woo, the wah-wah. Like, it's too much for me. Like, I'm very much like, all right, y'all, what are we doing? How are we doing? So, yeah, I see more of that.
Yeah, so just get to the point and Chris kind of being there for them, but also helping them. Because it's true, the characters, there's so many times where they're like bouncing these ideas off of each other and it just turns into a mess. But then when Chris was at the lake house with them, he kind of took that under control and was able to be like,
Very much. I don't do the back and forth. The back and forth is like too much for me. Like, let's get to the point and let's do the job, period.
that's so funny, but it really is true. Like how you said in the beginning, you are so Chris. So seeing how that kind of comes through, that's really fun to hear. And so I talked to Marianne recently, and I heard that you were such a big help with her karaoke scene. And that's one of my favorite scenes, and I know a lot of people loved it. And from what I understand, you were such a driving force in that. You went to the studio, you helped her sing. So what was that experience like for you?
I remember Maddie texting me and she was like, "Oh my God, I have this like karaoke scene and I'm singing this song. Like, I don't know what I do." And I'm like, "Girl, like, come through. Like, let's do whatever." And she came through my place and yeah, she sang through the song the first time. I remember she was like kind of like nervous. And she finished the first time. I'm like, "What did you know?" Like, she sounds so good. And she's like so beautiful. And she's like, she's literally a pop star. I honestly, to keep it real with you, Allison, I didn't do much for real. Like, this girl is so talented and it's all within her that like it would have came out just as amazing if I wasn't there. But I do think what it is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think she's ever been in the studio before to like record an original song. So she wanted to help somebody who had. And I think really like my primary like role in this was just being a cheerleader for real, to like be there and reassure her, like, "Girl, yeah, that sounds good." Like, at most, I think we listened to the original song after I heard her perform, and there was like the original singer does like a few like licks and a few like, you know, just like vocal flips that I was like, "Babe, you sound amazing. Maybe just like play with it, you know, play with the notes more, like, you know, and have fun in that way. And then when we actually got into the studio, like, to hear her actually, like, you know, she played with it a little bit. I was like, oh god, she heard me out. It was really, really cool. Yeah, she did an incredible job, and it was so fun just, like, being behind her, like, listening to her really transform into this rock star. I mean, I think the plight of, like, Bronwyn really mirrored the Marianne's actual plight with the song, because you could tell at first she was, like, nervous and was not sure, but by the end, when we were, like, on set, and, like, she was singing this song, like, her hair was, like, shaking, like, and I'm, like, I was in the back, like, if you were to flip the camera around in that moment, like, I'm there, like, that's my friend, that's my friend. It was so exciting to see her go from, like, being like, okay, like, to, like, yeah, it was really awesome. But yeah, I'm glad I could, like, the easiest job in the world is just to be there and cheer somebody who is incredibly talented. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's so nice to hear. And I mean, I remember, because I think Matt had posted the picture of Mari in the studio and had also tagged you. So as fans, we were, like, speculating what's going on. Right away, we kind of, like, that's not, like, an ADR studio. I think that's, like, singing. We thought that maybe you were going to sing also. That's something that in a season three, a potential season three, you would be down for if Chris had a little singing moment.
I mean, listen, I'm always down to sing a 1-2, a rap, whatever, like, da-da-da, for sure.
From what I also heard from Mari, you're a great singer, so.
That's sweet.
I feel like that would be a great moment for Chris. And I think Chris just had such these fun little scenes in season two. You also had that one with Cooper and then the bearded dragon. So, well, Cooper Van Grudel. That's funny that it's... but it gets mixed up. But what was it like filming that scene with the bearded dragon thrown in there?
Oh my gosh, that was one of the funnest days to shoot for me, because, I mean, one, the bearded dragon is, like, was in my head. Like, in the break, like, the pet handler, like, put the dragon in my hand. I'm just like, oh my god, like, this is crazy. It's so chill and, like, super docile. Like, it doesn't move around. And I'm like, yo, Stan is, like, chill. Like, could I have a bearded dragon one day? Like, I really was thinking, like, I would actually have this as a pet. Like, it was so chill. But then filming with Cooper is so much fun. Like, Coop is, so there's, you know, actors have different ways of approaching whatever kind of scene. You have, like, the serious actor who's, like, a lot more, like, you know, in the notes and, like, in the books and stuff like that, which is very effective. I would say, I'm confusing it. Chib Cooper is more of that type of actor and is clearly very effective. But then on the other end, you have Cooper Nate, who's like, he just has fun with it. Like, he's cracking jokes all day. Like, my favorite moment was, like, before it comes on the bearded dragon, we're just, like, ad-libbing, and I'm just like, all right, like, does this dragon shit? And he's like, oh my gosh, yes, like, it poops, like, really bad. Can you take care of it? I'm just like, and we're just, like, going back and forth. So much fun. He's literally, like, laughing from beginning to end and, like, cracking jokes in between takes. I really enjoy shooting and filming with him, and I hope, yeah, we get the chance to more.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And I know, episode 5 with the rave was one of your favorites to film. Is that correct to say?
For sure.
So I guess we kind of touched on that, but maybe episode 7, what was the filming of the lake house like, and kind of Chris playing a bigger part in terms of that with Murder Club? Was that, like, a fun day on set? Or
oh my god, that was so fun, because that was the first time that I've filmed with, like, everyone. I've always felt like Chris is, like, hidden in the corner. And so now Chris out, like, what's up? Like, stop playing with it. What up, y'all? Like, da da da. And it was the first time I really felt, like, in the mix and, like, in the group. Like, I'm in the cool kid now. Like, it was a lot of fun, because we all just, like, you know, got to hang out with each other. And yeah, it was a really good time. It was very empowering, for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can answer this, but did the talking tiger really get ripped up in episode 7 when everyone like grabbed a
So we did it a couple of different ways. I think we had a take where they actually ripped it, but like I don't know if they actually succeeded in ripping it, but basically like movie magic, they like said pause and then like moved the talking tiger, then had a piece that was already like ripped up and then they resumed it again. So like yes and no.
So kind of half and half there. Half I mean, half. It's amazing what editing can do and make everything look like. That's so cool. And do you have a favorite line or moment of Chris's, or maybe not even Chris's, just any character in the series?
Yes, my favorite line of Chris's is "Good night, say back." Like I remember the say it back part wasn't like written, and I remember just doing it over and over again and being like, "Good night, good night," and everybody kept walking away, not saying anything. And I don't know how y'all were raised, but in my house, if mom and dad says good night and your mouth is closed and you don't say it back, like it's a problem. So like, by the third or fourth time, I was like getting annoyed because nobody was like saying it back. I was like, "Say it back," and then they're all like, "Good night," and I walked away. So then we did that take a few times, and I'm glad that it made it into the show.
That's so funny. Oh my goodness, I love hearing that. And I mean, yeah, so you got to interact with all of them at that part, and I think that was really cool seeing how Chris is with the different individual characters. But is there any character that you would like to see Chris have more scenes with specifically in a potential season 3?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, like, I love Sarah in real life. Like, I'm obsessed with her. So, like, I don't know. It would be great to, like, have more scenes of Chris and Vanessa together. Just because, like, I think there's a lot more. Like, Vanessa is so sassy and so funny. And so is Chris. So, I feel like a double team could be extra funny and extra sassy. So, yeah, I would definitely say Vanessa.
Yeah, I think even, again, episode 7, I feel like, was so crucial, but we kind of saw them come together and kind of see that, like, they did have those similarities.
Mm-hmm.
They could kind of work together. And I think you and Sarah both on screen, like, the chemistry really comes through. So I think it would be really fun to see that friendship also explored in For one sure. of those guys. So that would be really fun. And, excuse me. When one of the fun things about this podcast is I've been able to connect with so many different fans, and they've helped me kind of create these questions. So when it came to your interview, Hani on Twitter, your biggest fan, she's also the biggest Cooper Chris fan. She helped me come up with these questions, and there was one that we need to know if you can answer. So sure. You posted the TikTok and you and Cooper were bowling. So is there a best bowling or a best bowler in the cast, and who really won that match?
Why is that really a question? Like, I'm like, none of these kids can see me in bowling. Like, it's me, period. It's gotta be, like, next question. That was the easiest question ever. No. Okay, that actual time that we bowled, though, if I recall correctly, I did beat Coop and Madi, but we were actually bowling with our trainer, and he, like, you know, won the overall game, but I won the game out of the cash. And I've also beat Sarah before. Actually, Sarah and I tied. I'll give her that.
So what I'm hearing is you and Sarah are, like, the master bowling. Sarah's
definitely up there. But, like, yeah, if we did have a rematch, I mean, it would be me, clearly.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, season 3, we will need to see that. I mean, yeah. Your TikToks, so iconic, I just have to say. I think I mentioned in the beginning, we all love them. So thank you for putting that content out for when we're, like, in a hiatus. So that's great to see.
For sure. I'm obsessed with TikTok. TikTok is, like, I don't know, like, giving me new life. And it's just so fun because, like, I think that Instagram, like, I was in a place where Instagram was frustrating me, and just, like, I don't know. It seems so fake. Like, it's so curated and it's so, like, I don't know. People, like, all my, just people telling me to, like, okay, like, you can't post this. You have to, like, post that, like, put a shirt on, like, da da da. I'm just like, bro, leave me alone. And so TikTok, like, I don't have to do none of that. I can just, like, be chilling, having fun. And, like, it's so much more real and organic. So, yeah, I'll definitely keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I see that too. Instagram, you do have this pressure where it's like everything has to be perfect, but I feel like TikTok lets you be more creative.
Yeah.
And so you have made your way in the entertainment industry and getting into acting, and I know you've done some singing. So do you have any advice for anyone who's looking to get their start in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, for sure. What's some good advice I could give somebody looking to get into the entertainment industry? I would say the best advice that I could give is like use all the resources that you can where you are to like do whatever it is that you got to do. Like, I mean, this is a tough business to get into, and even once you're in it, it's even tougher to maintain it. So I would say this, and my all acting teachers always say this to their students. And so I relate it to you. I remember my first class, my teacher asked me, you know, is there anything else in the world that you would rather be doing? And, or is there anything else in the world that you could do other than entertainment and be happy? And like, he was like, if so, like, raise your hand. And some people like raise their hand. Some people are like, oh yeah, like I like directing. I like write, like da da da. Or like, even outside of entertainment, like, oh, like finance, I can see myself doing that. And my hand was like down, y'all, because I couldn't think. Like, I would be so miserable if I was doing anything else. And I have tried to do other things. Like, I, you know, interned on Wall Street. Like, I tried the finance life for a while, and like, I was miserable. So, yeah, I think that's really my advice, is that like, if this is really it for you, then understand that, and like there's so many resources at your fingertips that you could use to get into it. You don't even really have to be in LA or like New York. You can be anywhere in the world. There's some incredible programs online. One-on-one is a really, really great program that I use. That's like literally on the internet, and you can network with like casting agents and like managers. And I mean, there's so many things that you can do from the internet to like jumpstart whatever it is you want to do, whether it's singing or like acting, dancing even. Yeah, that's really what I would say.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And it's true. I think the internet now and social media has helped so much with all of this. Because it's true, you don't need to be in New York or LA where it used to be like those are like the prime spots. So that's great advice. Thank you so much. And
For sure.
do you have any memorable New Zealand memories that you could share with us?
So many. I mean, we had like, let me think. What's a good New Zealand memory? I mean, all of the parties that we had like so many themed parties. We did like a 90s throwback party for Annalise's birthday. We had a pride party. The pride party was lit. Like, pride party was a ball. And we threw it in my room, and like, it was the whole cast, and you know, a bunch of kids from around town came out. Yeah, it was fun. Like, I mean, you had like some of the cast who played the parents even like came out in like wigs and just like elaborate outfits. And like, yeah, it was a really fun time. I love these kids so much. I think it's clear by now that like we're actually friends in real life. I mean, I pretty much follow Sarah wherever she goes at this point. Like we spent New York together, then we lived across the street from each other in LA, and then I followed her to Hawaii. like yeah, I don't know. There's so many great memories, but yeah, I guess yeah, Pride Party and the 90s parties were standouts.
So great to hear, because I, like I said, all your relationships with each other and your, that all translates on screen. You can see that friendship and you can see it really come through. And I think that's what's also pulls a lot of fans in. So it's so great to hear that everyone's such good friends.
Yeah.
Before we go, would you mind doing a speed round with some questions?
Let's do it.
Perfect. Are you more of an Apple or an Android person?
People still use Android.
That's what I said. I mean, I don't know about you, but if it's a green text bubble, I don't think you should text back.
I immediately don't take you serious. I really like. You lucky if I respond.
Yes. So Apple all the way. I mean, like I said, no blue bubble, no reply. And. I mean, you're on a show all about keeping secrets. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at keeping secrets?
20. Oh my gosh. What? I don't play. Like, I'm very serious about keeping a secret because, like, I don't know. I don't like that fake. So anyways, 20.
Do you have a favorite song at the moment?
I do. I really love Shirt by SZA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like that one, too. Mm-hmm. I just heard the whole new album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So New York or LA?
Allison, come on. I can't. Listen, everybody always asks this question. And I don't know. For me, it's like, because I literally live in both cities. I go back and forth quite often. And for me, it's like asking if I like my mom or my dad better. I love them both. Like, they're both awesome. Mm-hmm. I would say New York in the summer and LA in the winter, but I could never choose, babe. I could never, never choose.
I am from New York, so I feel like I'm sometimes partial to the city, but I feel like they're so hard to compare sometimes because I've also been to LA and it's like oranges and apples. Like it's very hard to.
Yeah.
So I agree with that one. And do you have a favorite place to vacation?
Yeah, I love Brazil. I love Brazil so much. Like Brazil, specifically Rio de Janeiro. Yeah, I just love Rio. I love it so much. Everybody's so beautiful. Everybody's so fucking pretty in Brazil. And it's just hot and the beach and the music is so lit and the food is so good and cheap. Like, I love you, so Brazil. I'm trying to get there for Gotta Be Vile in a few weeks. Let's see. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed for you. I hope that works out. And do you prefer driving somewhere or flying somewhere?
This is supposed to be a speed round sometimes.
Oh, good.
Like, I hate both, honestly. I'm just teleport for real.
Teleport, just get right there.
Teleport.
Right to the point. Just yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like road trips are always fun, but then the plane gets
they're
there.
Fun. I just drove from New York to LA with a friend of mine, and I had so much fun. Or from LA to New York, and we stopped in like every major city, and it was so fun. But like the actual driving aspect is like I hate it. Like I really don't like driving. Like it's boring. Like it's not fun at all.
Yeah.
Flying is like, I hate flying. I love traveling. I hate flying. Like, I'm scared for my life every single time the plane goes like this. I'm like saying a prayer, like begging God, please, like, please don't take me now. Like, it cannot be the way it is.
That flight to New Zealand isn't a short one.
It's not at all. But that flight's fancy, though. They put us up pretty nice. So we just like lay the bed back and fall asleep. And
that's always nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to get this episode out, and I really appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
For sure. Thank you. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for listening this week, and thank you, Kareem, for being such an amazing guest. Make sure that you're following One of Us is Talking on Instagram for exclusive interview clips. And keep up the conversation surrounding the show. Make sure that you're tweeting about One of Us is Lying. Make sure that you're still streaming it. Make sure that you're posting on Instagram, on TikTok, whatever it is. See you guys next week.